What's up, ladies? Welcome to the Urban Christian Woman podcast, where we seek to restore women with God's truth for their everyday lives. I'm Tashiba Oliver.
And I'm Leah Ross, and we're your hosts. This season, we've got some exciting things in store. So join us as we study God's word, celebrate women living faithfully on mission, and dive into cultural issues through a biblical lens. You ready, Tashiba?
Girl, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
Hey, ladies.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We are excited to be digging in to a new series that we have entitled Womanhood Creating Better Narratives. And so if you haven't heard our heart behind this series, go back, listen to the promo episode. And then come back over either right now or maybe a little bit later and jump into the series with us. Today, we are digging into womanhood creation narrative.
Yeah. And we know that when we decided to really like jump into this series and this topic, we knew that we wanted to approach it from a different space, right? We're talking about our identity as women, rather than the roles that we fill as women and which roles should we or shouldn't we or what's right in this one or that one. We're not doing that. But as we think about identity, we're thinking about it all begins with who created us and in what identity did our creator make and form us as women. And so we're looking at the biblical story of womanhood in the scriptures.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And
you said get in your Bible.
Yes, that's okay. What we're doing.
That's what we're doing. We're looking at truth.
Our faith, we need to put that on a t-shirt. Open your Bibles.
Hashtag open your Bibles.
I love it. That's where we are starting. And we're starting with the creation narrative. So as a caveat, right, we want to have this conversation with as much humility and with as much charity as possible.
That's right.
Because it's filled with ticking time bombs.
Yes.
And
little landmines are in the ground everywhere, especially because our faith is being formed not just by scripture, but also around doctrine. And doctrine varies from denomination to denomination. And so,
as much by scripture as our experiences.
Yes, amen to that as well. And so what we want to do is we do want to have this conversation, pursue this series with a charity and a humility, and know that the conversation is loaded with history for all of us.
We recognize that we come to the conversation with baggage that we try to check at the door, at the foot of scripture, right? And I think that all of you as listeners can recognize that as well. Like, we all kind of come to this with a story. We don't have all the answers.
That's right.
But we do endeavor to have this conversation with charity and humility and a posture of learning as we go, humbly speaking about the things that we are looking at in scripture and that we are trying to like invite you all into. And we hope that you all can listen in the same posture.
And this is the last nuance that we would also say, and it's not really a nuance, it's more of an invitation. We invite you to gather sisters in your local church to go through this series. It's not just a series for you to work through in isolation, but it is a series for you to journey with, doing life with, and to have these conversations, to be stretched, to grow, and to allow it to frame all of our lives, okay? And so as we dig into the scripture, we are going to be in Genesis 1 and 2 today. And so we will not read the whole narrative, but we're going to really lean into the key components from Genesis chapter 1 and 2 as we have conversation. And here's our big picture. The big picture for this creation episode is to know that woman is created from God and for God in his image and likeness. And boy, that has a lot wrapped in that very truth statement, that big picture truth, that woman is created from God and for God in his image and likeness. And so right in Genesis 1, we see in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so right in the entrance of the narrative that Moses has written to the people of Israel, right, to be a manifesto, right? This is a manifesto and a point of who are you, Israel? Who are you, Israel? Here is where it starts, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it frames the foundation for the whole story of creation, that God has created all things.
Yes.
So we get to Genesis 1:26 through 31, and we see that God as the creator, as he's creating creation, begins to see that he needs to be able to create out of his very nature and character. And so in Genesis 1:26 through 31, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth.' So God created human beings in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth.' God also said, 'Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be good for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it. I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning on the sixth day." Leah, read for us this account in Genesis 2, and give us a little bit of framework, because where it is more in Genesis 1, this systematic historical account, in Genesis 2, we see the narrative written a little bit differently. So speak to that, and then take us to Genesis 2, 15 through 25.
Yeah, so, you know, some would even say that the first account is more of a 30,000-foot view, and then Genesis 2 gives us a zoomed-in, more poetic, also picture of just the substance behind creation, and particularly this passage behind the creation of man and woman in God's image. So here we are in Genesis 2, 15 through 25. "The Lord God took the man and planted the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die.' Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him.' The Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I love Genesis 2 so much because it really is divulging even more the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got
our triune
poetic
God.
Heart.
It's a heart,
and it's necessary.
It's got a heartbeat,
as you said,
baby.
In the narrative being from Moses writing it, right? Like, to get that not only for the record books, right, but to also expose the Lord God. I love the repetition of the Lord God, the Lord God, the yes. Lord your God.
Yes.
Did this.
He did this.
To bring you here.
Yes.
And to create people.
Yes.
And it's so good. So, all right. So as we jump in, what do we recognize about these passages as we think about it, particularly at, you know, we've heard probably creation narratives and we're thinking about all these things, but now we're going to zoom in and think about it as it pertains to womanhood. I think that there is a, just right out the gate, a repetition and an intentional repetition of God makes, God blesses, God purposes, God commissions, right? We see that repetition and there is a definitive sort of, it is so, right? That when God ordains it, and he sees it as good. He says, it is so. That's like a, almost like a verbal seal on the deal.
Yes.
This is how God intended it. And he's like, yes. You know, when you fix it just right and you're like, yes. You yes. step back and you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when you do your makeup and right. it's just like, that's it.
That's
you
it.
Set your face
yeah.
with the setting spray. Mm-hmm. The Lord was like, yeah. it was so.
Set it.
Set it.
Love
set it.
It
and forget it.
Yeah. So that's, so, I mean, right out the gate, I think yeah. that's super apparent that God has, he has good intentions here and he's seeing it come into existence. And not only that, but he gives woman what she needs to fulfill her purposes, his purposes for her, I should say, in his creation, because he's giving of his own image, of his own likeness, of the triune God. Yes. And so woman has everything that she needs, not only from God, but also in her surroundings to fulfill the purposes that God put her here for.
Yeah.
It came from him.
Yeah.
So let's keep that in mind mm-hmm. even as we move forward.
Hey, ladies, have you heard of the Urban Woman Club yet? The Urban Woman Club is an online giving club through the Urban Christian Woman designed to plan for the long-term reach of more urban women, restoring them with God's truth for everyday life. This community aligns with our needs, and while we're grateful for annual donations, we invite you to consider becoming a monthly committed partner at one of the levels and embark with us on a lasting journey. Your monthly support, starting even at a base level of $7, can consistently transform lives. Plus, by becoming a monthly partner, you're not just supporting a cause by seeking restoration in urban women's lives, you're joining a community that gives back to you and to other women in urban contexts. Our monthly partners will enjoy exclusive perks, including a free monthly downloadable phone background, and you can elevate your tech with a touch of encouragement specially crafted just for you. You can go to theurbanchristianwoman.com, click on monthly giving, and find more about the Urban Woman Club.
What else do you notice about the passage, Toshiba?
Yeah, I think that God is very clear as he is giving us our origin in creation. Like, this is who you are. This is your DNA. This is what I have purposed and commissioned you to do. And so just as you were saying, it was so that he said it and it was. And so
was very good.
And it was very good. And so it's almost like very good is the response of, and this is most excellent,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know?
Double good,
you know? And mm-hmm. so good. But what in saying that, I'm saying that the Lord is saying, you will not have to search for anything else.
Talk about it.
You will not have to search for anything else to have need of, to frame you, define you, okay? It is here in my creation. I've given you everything that you need. It is sufficient. And so what truth about us as women's origin do we see? And what does it tell us? number one, we see that woman is created from God and to God in his image and likeness. But the other part, she is a response to his need. And when it says corresponding from him in Genesis chapter 2 and 21, it says, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man and he slept, and God took one of his ribs and close of flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. There is this beauty of man is being, the rib is being taken out of man and it's being placed into woman. And it is a reflection of who we are as people. As God created us, man comes out of the ground, out of creation, and God designates who he is and frames him and forms him. And so it is not any different with us as women. We are following in the story of creation, as God is saying that man needs someone to correspond to him. And so she is a response to his need.
Yeah.
And I think that it is a challenge for us as women. Well, we're like, man, we could easily slip into individualism.
Yeah. I know. I even think like that might be the first minefield for people.
The first.
What are you talking about? I'm a response to his need.
Yeah.
So I got to meet his every need?
I got to meet his every need. That's Mm-mm. not what God is saying.
No.
God is saying
that. Because that's a very individual level.
It's a very Western.
Yeah.
Individual level. Let's be very distinct. It is a Western individual level, but understanding that man is coming out from the ground, out from God's spoken word,
yeah.
mm-hmm. amen, somebody,
mm-hmm.
and in response to God also seeing a need of correspondence, yeah. right? A correspondence to the reflection of God's image and likeness in creation. Man is not sufficient. He could have been sufficient, but God is saying he needs someone to correspond to him.
Ooh, you preaching now.
He needs someone to correspond to him and to his need. And so we can rest in that it is not a minefield of individualism, but it is an invitation into the storyline where woman is being a completing piece yeah. to God's image and story in creation, to be a reflection to the world, and to represent God's beautiful nature.
Yeah.
In two different and distinct ways.
Because his nature alone is multifaceted.
It is so multifaceted.
So when you think about the unity that God displays by being triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I love that you were saying that Adam alone couldn't really reflect the whole, he could have. I mean, God could have done it, but he chose not to because he said there's something about distinctions being unified.
Yes.
That reflects me more into the world than just solo.
Come on.
And that gives me goosebumps because I'm like, Whew. God is so intentional in
yes,
saying,
he is.
Yes, man and woman.
Yes.
You know, together.
Together.
Because
unified together.
And I love this, that an author I read a long time ago talked about distinctions that harmonize, not antagonize, because that is reflective of God's nature.
Come on.
Three distinct persons in one that are so harmonized, perfectly harmonized.
Ooh, girl, come on. I'm getting out my jacket right now.
That would not be in competition, but actually would be synchronous together to fully reflect the glory that one alone couldn't really completely do, like justice to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was God's design, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want one alone to do justice to really his image. He said no to.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah. And that it would be corresponding. It would be a suitable helper.
Yes.
It would be a individual who could help tend, work through the fruitfulness, through the multiplication, through the ruling, through the subduing, together, unified, working, creating this beautiful chorus that is very much so harmonizing, but beautifully and wonderfully, like being sung through the ears of creation to our God. And so these distinctions are not distorted at all.
They're
dignified.
Oh, yes. Distinctions that are dignified. And I'm like, that's the place where we're so far from that because we live in the fallen world and we're looking at this existence pre-fall, pre-sin, mm-hmm. that it's almost like, what? I don't even understand that my distinctions are dignified. I always look at them as sort of secondary because we do live in almost this like hierarchy, this gender hierarchy where male is at the top. And everything that is not male sort of is secondary. So as we find our womanhood, as we find our femaleness, right, we find it almost to be second class. But that's only because of the fall and how it has infiltrated our minds and our worldview. But before that, this is exactly what you're saying. These distinctions were so dignified. And not only that, but we're called worthy distinctions, right? Now we're talking about how your womanhood, ladies, like this is what I really.
I'm out here enjoying this.
That our womanhood was a worthy distinction.
It was a blessing.
A blessing, not a curse.
Mm-hmm. Can I just come in with this because I was in a deep dive this week on this word blessing and blessedness, girl. And it is the same. The Hebrew or the Greek is the word that we would have under a eulogy. It is to speak well of.
Woo. Yes. Talk about
it. And so being a woman is a blessing. It is a way that speaks well of God.
Girl, hear that, ladies. Your womanhood in its beauty in its created beauty speaks well of God.
My hand is waving right now in the office as we're recording this. And so because our distinction is not just dignified, it is a blessing. It speaks well of God. Well, how does that frame our lives? Number one, 1 John 1:8-9 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So how does this frame our living? Knowing that God is love and that all of creation is made out of his love. Being a woman is not oppressive. Being a woman is not a degradation of who God has made us. It is framed and formed out of God's love. And, you know, at 43, here I am working through my belovedness as a woman, as a child of God, knowing that I am formed and framed out of God's love. And so God frames us out of his love. He made us out of his love. And so he delights to display his love through us as a created being in our embodiedness as a woman.
Bars, bars, okay? So good.
Ladies, if you're enjoying the ministry and content of The Urban Christian Woman, would you take a minute to write a review and give us a rating on iTunes? Our goal is to get truth into the hands of urban women. You can help us by leaving even a one-sentence review and some stars. This simple act will help increase our visibility for more women to find this podcast and resources to help equip them in their everyday lives. So girl, what you waiting for? Just go ahead and do it right now.
And if you haven't yet, join our community on social media. You can find us on Instagram at The Urban Christian Woman, Facebook, The Urban Christian Woman, and on our website, which is theurbanchristianwoman.com. this is so important for us to just carve out space to say, it is a beauty, it is a blessing, and it is out of his love that we find our womanhood, okay? Amen. That alone is, let that lift you today and encourage you today.
Amen.
And in the midst of that, we recognize that there is a way that these truths can impact our lives in relationships to men, right? Yeah. So I think of, just to sort of transition a little bit, I think of the end of this passage where they were naked and felt no shame. I'm like, there is no shame around those distinctions being together, but distinct. There was no shame at that time. And we have such a hard time identifying with that because that's not our existence. That's not our lived experience. We wrestle with so much shame. But at that time, they were distinct and unified together with no shame, no competing, no comparing, no striving, right? And so the distinction between manhood and womanhood was at that time still fully and freely rooted in God's belovedness, like you were just saying. There's nothing that hindered it. And so the womanhood that Eve was created in held no shame. But I know that I just want to acknowledge that we do sometimes right now feel shame in response to, okay, yeah, a woman is created out of man's being. What does that mean? I don't like that. I feel a discomfort around
dissonance.
That.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's out of this love that you were talking about, God's perfect love, that he sees us. He knows that he desires for us to have what we need. He knows what we need in order to flourish in his creation. And so at that time, he's like, this is such a beautiful, good thing. Right? It's such a beautiful and good thing. And so at that time, we see this picture of there being no shame around that. And I don't know about you, but it makes me long for that.
Yeah.
It makes me long for that.
Yeah, it makes us long for that. And then I would also say that it comes down to us and it intersects into our life. It intersects in the space of like being without shame as men and women. And so I could see, because we are living in a fallen world now, that we're living post-Genesis 3, right? We could spiral into some distorted narratives of like, I cannot be a woman apart from man. Like my identity is so in man that I got to have a man at all times if you're not married, or longing for that so deeply that it's become a high place. Or if you're married, like you cannot see yourself outside of your spouse. And so there's this space of like, I can't be a woman apart from man. And then there's this other bend of spiral that I don't want man to be anywhere in the definition of who I am. It's almost as if we want to hit the backspace delete button on God creating man and just being there with the Lord. And so there are these two spirals that we can go in that intersect with our lives and who we are in living in this world, and understanding that God's love is so vast that he delights in displaying his distinction. Just as he is Father, Son, and Spirit, he displays that through two distinct individuals being unified to reflect that back to him. And so we can see, as we push forward towards how do we live this out? How does this impact our heart, our mind, our hands? What is beautiful and good about this is that God is very intentional in creating us woman, and that it is done out of his love. If you don't get anything else today, I need you to know that your worthiness is not based upon your role. Your worthiness is not based upon your responsibilities, how much you accomplish, how successful you are, how better you are than the person that you look into on the right or your left. No, out of scripture, out of the creation narrative, out of 1 John 1:8-9, God is saying that I have created woman out of my love. And by creating her, I was very intentional. And so there is a worthiness, that blessedness that I was speaking of. It is intentional. And we war as women to feel our, not just dignity, but our worthiness. And we can attach it oftentimes to the things that we do or to who we are with. And what God is saying is, it starts with me. Yeah. The one who exists outside of time and creation.
Be at rest, oh my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Because that's a whole word.
It's a whole
word. That is a word that your soul could be at rest with, ladies. Like, I just, it's so good. And I mean, I think I just want to say that is, if our story doesn't begin there, then we're going to struggle.
Girl, we struggle every day.
There's so many, and I'm just saying for real, because I've even seen this recently, there's so many resources on womanhood that start from the broken place. They don't start from our worthiness being created out of God's image and out of his love.
Make it plain.
They start from the Genesis 3 subjugation, rebellion.
Talk about it.
And it's so harmful to us because we're getting a wrong origin story. That's why we're doing the whole episode in the first place on origin. I'm about to get hyped, but I'm
you
like,
are hyped, and I'm here for it.
You have the wrong origin story if you think that our origin is our rebellion and our subjugation and our brokenness. That ain't the origin story.
That's right. You're operating in a state of distortion. And that distortion can lead so much so to a low view of self that God did not create in the origin story, the what he spoke into, the spoken word of God.
And we can see that. We can see that in places where women are subjugated. We can see that in Christian culture spaces.
Yes.
Where women are marginalized,
yes.
Right? That is, that a lot of that flows from this woman's story begins with Genesis 3. That ain't it.
Yes.
That ain't it.
That's not it.
And so we know that our story flows from God's perfect love creating us. And we can see in the midst of all of that, that Christ is our hope that we can apply to this. In the creation of man and woman, Christ is there at the beginning.
Talk about it.
The Spirit is there at the beginning.
Talk about
it. The Redeemer is there in the origin story, right? Even before anything went sideways.
Talk about it.
Was there. In fact, the multifaceted nature of God, which includes Christ our Redeemer, is the reason that God said, no, you need corresponding. You need, woman needs to be on the scene. And so in light of that, knowing that Christ is at the heart of this beauty in creation, we know that we have an intention. We were created with intention, and we were created with purpose from God. And that's just very good. That's just very good. And so as we wrap this all up, I want to ask, like, what is the better narrative, right? We're the whole series, we're talking about this better narrative. What is the better narrative that I can cling to, or I'm being called to live right now because of this origin story? And I would just say that
there is so much here.
There's so much.
I'm going to speak for myself.
Yeah.
What better legacy and narrative can I cling to and am being called to live? I need to allow the song of creation to be sung every single day. Just like we sing the song of the hope of the gospel through what Christ has done when we fall short of God's glory, as women, we need to allow the song of God through him creating us and making us out of his love to be sung over us every day. And because if we're not doing that, we are going to walk out our lives in a distorted sense. And it's going to be from a place of striving.
Yeah. And we're gonna jump into that place in the next episode. And so I think that is the perfect place to land of like letting the beauty of the song of creation be sung over us and reminding ourselves, just like you said earlier, Toshiba, that our womanhood speaks well of God.
Mm, it eulogizes.
It eulogizes the glory of God.
Father, we thank you because you have made us. And it is very good. Forgive us as women who are made in your image and likeness from you and unto you to display your glory. Forgive us for when we start in a place of a distortion and when we live our lives in such a way that does not speak well of you. That we think that we need to strive, that we need to attach who we are and how we have been formed to what we do. We thank you that you give us everything we need to fulfill your purposes. You said that you ordained it. It was so. Help us. Forgive us in our fallenness when we look for provision to fulfill the very purpose that you have already created in us to fulfill. Help us to embrace your abundant provision through what you have given in your good purposes. Help us to not look for other provision, but help us to tap into the blessedness and goodness and abundance of looking toward your good purposes, investing our lives for your good purposes so that we may speak well of you as woman. Help us as women to not live into the distorted lie that we don't need our brothers, but God, help us to see that we display our beauty and we speak well of you even more when we sing that beautiful harmonized song, unified as woman and man. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed day, ladies.